You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead. Enjoy the show. Podcast.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
of
all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined as always by my buddy Garrett. How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
How is the weather out in Venice? It looks nice. We're zooming today. Nice. I can see it. Nice. It's depressing me because it's raining here.
Nice 68 in the sun. Basketball courts reopened. Down there shooting after this.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. So real life is back?
Real life feels to be back quite a bit, actually.
Somewhat. Nice. Okay.
Memorial Day.
All right. What do we got? What do we got today? We got Andy Norman. 1653, Whitney Cummings, 1654, and then Sebastian Younger, 1655. Oh. Sebastian is a legend. So what a great pod that was.
So well spoken.
Yeah. Yeah, great voice. Right. Like, just brilliant voice. Absolutely. And a fantastic author, too. I want to read that book, Freedom. I've read The Tribe. I haven't read Freedom. I want to buy that one.
For sure.
It sounds good. All right, let's kick it off with Andy Norman. Mental immune systems. I'd never heard any term like that before.
After hearing,
what did you think of
after
that?
After him saying it, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it seems like he coined that phrase, basically, but it does make rational sense.
Yeah, it does. And what I was thinking about is, like, your regular immune system just kind of works on its own,
right?
But your mental immune system, you have to kind of learn the process. But then after thinking about it, I'm like, wait a second, your regular immune system doesn't learn on its own. You have to have exposure.
I know.
You have to have exposure. You know, like, babies' immune systems are not strong,
right?
They have to, like, have exposure to all the flus and colds and things, and then it starts to get stronger. So in the same way, they kind of both work that way.
For sure.
And what was that example you gave about telling Joe to, like, grab a coal from the fire?
Right.
It's like your brain says, no, I'm going to get injured.
Yeah.
You know?
It's your brain protecting.
And I guess in the same way, you could do it with, you know, a bad relationship, like a toxic one.
Right.
You know? If you're having, you know, you're dating someone or you start to, and you start to see some, like, behaviors you don't like, but you still go ahead and do it.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're in this, like, really shitty relationship. It's like, yeah, your mental immune system is not working well. Didn't protect you from this thing.
Well, ideally, if it's an immune system, hopefully those prior situations with unhealthy relationships would help you develop an immunity to those future problems, ideally.
Well, right? You'd hope so, right? But at the same time, that doesn't always happen. Like, people repeat their mistakes over and over again with that kind of stuff.
Have you noticed? I feel like now that I've gotten older and I've had a handful of relationships in the past, like, I've made some conscious decisions that the relationship that I'm in right now, it's like the only thing I want to do is be bringing somebody up, have them on my side. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're older,
right,
and you've had a lot of experience,
so I think I don't want to say an immunity to bullshit, but that's like you've developed, hopefully. That's how I'm looking at it.
Well, it sounds like a good habit, right?
Right?
You've
right.
developed like a good habit,
right?
Well, and,
well, at least see what works and what doesn't work, and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, often in the past, like even in my 20s, I think of my relationships then, and most of it was like all about me.
Yep.
You know, what do I get out of it?
Yep.
Like, what is this? Is she being annoying? Can I go hang out with my buddies?
Right.
And it's you And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I was like this terrible person. I just didn't, I didn't know. I didn't think any different. I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. Well, I just got to do me and see if they're annoying and what it's all about me. But as you grow up, you get that like a bigger sense of community and like what the other person needs. And you fail enough times to be like, that's not working.
I don't want to be hanging out with somebody for an extended period of time. Like, I think we've had this conversation too. It's like, I don't want to say all married people because there are successful marriages out there. But a lot of the time, it seems like the narrative is like, it's fun. It's just a whole lot of work. It's a lot of work. And I'm like, it's not a lot of work for me and my friends. Like, why does it need to be a lot of work? Like, that just doesn't sound like I don't want to associate that as something that I have to do or an obligation. It's like something I get to do and I look forward to being on somebody else's team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
There's no quicker way to talk yourself out of getting married than talking to a bunch of your friends that are married.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right. It's like, and that's another thing too. I can't remember what I was listening to, but I think it was some meme or something about a relationship that they've been together for 25 years and they're not married. And it's like, if it's not broke, why do you need to fix it and put this like silly label on it just because everybody else is doing it? I just don't understand like the sheep mentality of that. And I know that's going to come across rude, but it's just like, I get it. Like, I like having my girl, and I'm not saying that. I just don't need to be like keeping up with anybody's expectations of what I'm supposed to
do.
Yeah,
but you wait till she wants to get married, dude. It's like new for you guys now, but she's not gonna. Women don't want to just date forever. They want to be married.
I mean,
that's what they want to do.
Aren't we progressive, bro?
Good luck trying to pass that one. Yeah. Let me know how that conversation goes when the time's ready.
I feel like we're progressive. We don't need the labels.
You're going to find out, man. You're going to find out. Have you ever been engaged or close to it before?
Never been engaged, never really close to it. And to be honest, like, I've prefaced my relationships with, I don't need to get married or have kids. I think that was something I always said to myself when I was like in high school. So like normally the first few times I would hang out with a girl, like I'll put that right out in the forefront. I bet a lot of guys do that too. But I mean, given my history, I've kind of lived up to that thus far. But like I said, now that I'm getting a bit older, it's like, I just want to be bringing somebody else up. You know what I mean? Like, I want to surround myself with people that I'm trying to go somewhere and do something and be motivated in that realm. Like, she makes me better. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what we should be doing, is hanging out with people that are making us better in some way. But
sounds like you should propose to a dude.
Take it easy.
Sounds pretty serious.
Take it easy, Chief.
Take it easy. Sounds like marriage to me, bro.
I know. Wait. We'll see what happens.
I'll be in your wedding.
Yeah.
Take it easy, pal. So Andy talks, he gets into like why people believe in conspiracy theories, which is like something that Joe, I feel like, has a pretty good grasp on.
Right.
And, you know, it's that they want to feel like they're an elite group of knowers. You know, like they know something other people don't know. This is the conspiracy. And they're all very serious and usually don't have a great sense of humor, at least from the conspiracy theorists that I know. They're all far too serious.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right,
slow
it down.
They start making that their like life's purpose to like prove that point or something that they're probably not even really involved in. But yeah.
But it's almost in the same line as like the astrology stuff, to be honest. And I don't want to bag on it all, but it's like, it's similar things. Like, I notice the same sort of things from people that believe in the astrology stuff. Right. They almost dismiss.
Oh, you do that.
Not believing. Like, you can't. Like, how do you, like, oh, you just don't get it.
Oh, you're a Libra. That's why you do that. I was like, oh,
right,
I will,
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
I will cut your arm off and beat you with it.
Yeah, you're a Libra. That's why you think that way. I'm like,
okay.
Well,
fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
but
that's why you like cashews. You're a Scorpio, okay?
But something that Andy said that really stuck with me is he's like, when you believe in things just because you want them to be true,
right,
it's like wishful thinking, it actually weakens your mental immune system.
That's a good point.
Like, it changes your ability to actually, you know, see what is really happening.
You're like fooling.
And then you kind of get sold on something yourself. Right. You like indoctrinate yourself with it.
You're fooling yourself. Believing
it. Yeah, I would say that astrology is far less harmful though than getting into conspiracy theories. I don't think there's any harm in it. Maybe it even has a net positive. Maybe it gives people some hope.
Are there,
you know?
Are there any that you're I don't want to say passionate about, but have been pretty adamant about, like the 9/11 thing, and are there any of them that you're like,
oh, you know, I got into that thing of like watching those documentaries back in the day. Zeitgeist is a good one. Ancient Alien shows. Like, you can send yourself down rabbit holes of your own conspiracies pretty quickly, but they seem to fade.
Yeah.
They don't stick with me very long. But it's kind of an interesting feeling. I remember when I first watched the Zeitgeist documentary, and if you guys haven't watched that, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's good.
It's kind of strange. A lot of it's debunked, but when you're watching it, especially that stuff early on about religion or the way the governments are set up or how money is created, like, it kind of shocks your paradigms, like the way that you perceive and understand the world, and you're like, oh my god. I mean, especially if you watch it stoned.
I was just about to say it. That was like a example of the fucking mind parasite that he said, because immediately when I watched that, I was like, have you seen Zeitgeist? Oh, you haven't seen it? You don't really know what the fuck's going on, right? Let me go ahead and break it down.
Let me break it down for you.
And then before
you know it, you're like, no, dude, I've done research myself, which is like you watching another YouTube video that also talks about Zeitgeist.
I googled something on my phone after I heard it on the Zeitgeist. I've done the fucking research.
Yeah, I have a degree in this. Not an official one, but a bit of one.
Dude, wait, what? That's probably the vast majority of how things get spread these days.
Oh, no doubt.
To a T.
I can't tell you how many people I've heard tell me they've done research. And then when you break it down, when you're just like, okay, number one, what do you think research is?
How are we defining
this? These peer-reviewed papers?
I talked to this guy at a bar that went to Harvard.
Yeah.
He knows his shit.
I know this guy who was high up in the military, bro, and he confirmed everything QAnon.
He knows it.
I think that guy is a homeless man. So that's number one.
Yeah, that's it's interesting how we
got it. It's a slippery slope, bro, and it's easy to laugh at it, like, but when you're caught up in it,
for sure.
It's like anytime you get caught up in anything, it's like, you know, it can happen to almost anyone. I don't think anyone's totally immune to getting kind of blindsided by bullshit.
Right.
It can happen. And if it's never happened to you, maybe it's actually happening to you all the time and you just haven't figured it out yet.
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, think about that just from perspective standpoint of how people wake up and they start looking at, like, this might sound woo-woo, but it's like, I spilled my coffee and then I stubbed my toe. And then and it's like one thing compounds after the next thing. And that's how you start looking at things. That could be like an internal brain parasite that's creeping up on you. And it's like, if you looked at, like, okay, you just got to take things in stride. It's all perception, obviously, but I could see how that could go.
Yeah, yeah. Your attitude towards it. It's like, it's what you focus on. Correct. Like, yeah, you could easily have three shitty things happen in a day.
Right.
And if you make them a big deal,
and you start telling,
they're going to make your day suck.
I've even been cognizant about that with this hot water thing. It's like, I'm careful who I tell that about to, because it's like, how you doing? I'm doing all right. My hot water heater broke. And it's like, dude, nobody gives a fuck. But it's just like, just deal with it and move on. It's like reiterating stupid stuff or like bad things that have happened just makes it like exponentializes them, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, that one just shows how easy your life is, because that's not a big deal. Take a fucking cold shower.
100%. Thank God I've been taking cold showers. I know how to do it now.
But it did leak all into your wall, right?
Yeah, like it was leaking on my car. I mean, it could be a blessing.
That's kind of a problem. Yeah, that's a bit annoying.
It's not ideal.
But what this is confirmation bias, right? With what he's talking about with these conspiracies and this research,
right.
It's like you're only going to look at things that confirm what you're starting to believe.
Yeah, support your.
And then, you know, if you throw a video in there that's like from an academic that's like, listen, this is all clearly bullshit, it's easy just to ignore it and go back to God knows whoever's making the other videos,
right.
You know, with that like slow monotone voice that just kind of like hypnotizes you into believing whatever the hell they're talking about. Yeah. I've seen so many of those videos,
right.
They're so strange, and I'm so suspicious of them now, but I think early on I was like, oh yeah, that seems legit.
That's not the mainstream media. That's got to be legit.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be real, because it was made by some guy in his mom's basement.
That's factual information.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing that like they pointed to that I really liked was the mark of wisdom, right? The willingness to yield to better ideas.
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is fascinating. It's like you're always willing to adjust.
That's
like, even if you get into a discussion, you're not fighting aggressively for your point to win. If someone brings up something else that's like valid or logical, and you're willing to take a step back and go, you know what? There might be something to that.
Dude, that's been the underlining narrative for Joe's guest and just Joe's mentality for a long time. Like, I don't necessarily need to be right. I just want to know. I just want to be informed. You know, like I want to do what makes the most sense. And like attaching your, he says that too. He goes, that's one thing he's always said is, you are not your past. You know what I mean? You are not your thoughts. You are actually what you do. So I mean, if you keep that in mind, like that's, you're always moving forward. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know,
what did you think about that stat that he threw out at the end? That 3 years, something like 3 years after winning the lottery, most people,
I've heard,
on average, were not happier than a quadriplegic. Can that be true?
I mean, how do you? What's the sample size? I don't know how they took that. Like,
well, you take a bunch of quadriplegics and you ask them how happy they are out of 10, and they say, "I'm this happy." And then you take people that won the lottery, and 3 years later, you ask them once they blew all their money, and their family hates them because they keep asking for money, and then
they go, "I wish I was."
You know, the girlfriends have left them, and their wife divorced them for half the cash.
They go, "I wish I was a quadriplegic."
No, I think they just say that they're not that happy.
Yeah, okay.
They're not wishing to be a different thing.
I'm just saying that was a weird,
even more unhappy.
That was a weird factoid to throw out there, but yeah, that's interesting. I always like to believe that I'm at an age now that if that were to happen, I probably would make some reasonable decisions.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would.
You would ball out of control. Every time I would speak to you, you'd have another jet ski.
I would have three,
just all gold teeth. You'd become a rapper.
Three gold jet skis, son.
Just crashing your brand new Lamborghini.
Yep.
You're like, now I'm a quadriplegic.
Right. Ouch.
Yeah.
Yikes.
All right, let's jump over to Whitney Cummings. Let's get into her. Whitney is always great. She's very, very funny. She's like so neurotic.
Oh my goodness.
Like you can tell. So neurotic, right?
Quick question. Is she a vegetarian?
I'm pretty sure, yes. Because she's so into like all that animal rights stuff.
My girl's going to say, I was telling her, like, we were listening to that one together, and she...
And she kind of looks pale, and well, she's
goes,
skinny.
She goes, she better be a vegetarian if she has all these attitudes towards these animals. Like, how are you going to be right, self-righteous in this, this attitude, but not towards the fact of, like, I'm going to go eat some chicken?
Yeah, right? I'm pretty sure she is. Okay. Don't quote me on it, but yeah,
not that I'm her judge, but that just seemed like I would imagine so. That's what I picked up as well. Anyway,
I like how she's such, you know, she's like definitely a feminist. She's more than likely a vegan, all into animal rights. Yet Joe starts the podcast by doing like a movie companion to Blade and making her sit there and watch it. It's like, welcome to the dude layer.
Watch it.
It's bro time.
There's
baby.
Blood coming out of the vents.
Yeah, and he's talking about it like he's 16,
yeah, that was,
like getting so pumped. To be fair, that is a dope-ass movie.
He's like, no, watch it.
I love that scene.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, he's like, pay attention, this bit. And she's like, God, shut up, Joe. You're 53 years old,
They kept saying
old,
she's a feminist. What dignifies or qualifies a feminist? I feel like it's just a...
Oh, just, you know, you just support women's rights.
I mean, I support like women's rights.
Women's progression with things. Well, then you're a feminist.
I'm a feminist.
I've always said that about you.
I'm a feminist. It just seems like a weird title. Like, I want all those things. That should just be normal. Like, the fact that we point out that's a thing.
Well, I think it's... I don't know. I think that people can take that too far, and then they get, like, aggressively feminist, and I don't know, and then they're like super wary of all things men do.
Are we maleist?
Constantly talking about toxic masculinity, and you know, but like anything, any ideology that you take on, you can take it too far,
right,
to where it's not helpful,
right?
But yeah, just supporting women in the workplace, equal pay, you know,
just
equal opportunity, all that stuff.
Well, in that case, I'm...
There we go. Officially, it is noted.
Write it down.
To the audience that Garrett is a feminist.
Put it on my resume. It's interesting. I love animals as much as the next person. It's just weird. It's not weird. I love it, what she's doing, to be honest. It's an interesting.
Hey, I mean, I agree with the stuff that she was saying. Yeah. I don't like the idea of like us. Look, I understand that early on we had to test different chemicals and products to make sure that they don't hurt humans.
Right. But now that we've
and
got
if
that.
Your options are test them on humans, or if there's no other way that's safe, you test it on an animal. Well, what are your options? Either don't have that product at all, or do it on animals. Right. Well, I don't like the sound of the animal thing.
I don't.
And I know now that you can buy a lot of products that are not tested on animals, so I don't know how the heck they're testing them. I guess they're just using less dangerous chemicals, more natural shit, so we know it's better.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not good. And then keeping these animals, like, locked up in inhumane conditions, and I get it all. Right. Like, Joe talks a ton about that fucking SeaWorld play. Was it SeaWorld, or what's the one in Canada that he has that guy on for?
I know what you're talking about.
About the whales and dolphins and shit, and those, the walrus is like the main focus on that one.
That's terrible.
And you know, it's not good stuff, man. I don't think it's good, though. I kind of feel like, I don't know how I feel so much about zoos. Like, I get it that they're all trapped, but at the same time I feel like it's probably important in some ways for kids to be able to see, like, especially kids in cities, to be able to go to a place and experience animals in front of them. I think it's only going to create like a love within them for these animals, which overall might be beneficial to the these species.
That's not wishful thinking. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Is that confirmation bias? That's my conspiracy.
That's what you've researched to believe.
This podcast was brought to you by the zoos of America.
Well, I think when she said, like, when Joe had referenced riding the elephant, he's like, they like you to do it. And she's like, that's fine. But the way that she described it, she's like, in order to get to that spot, they had to do a lot of fucking training to those elephants. Like, probably not what they wanted to be doing. So it's like they had to go through some semi-torture to get to that point where they like having you on them, you know?
Yeah. So speak up a little bit.
Gotcha. I dozed out there. But yeah, I think, I don't know, you think about how much money she was talking about the circus animals that they've made on that. They said that the Barnum and Bailey guys were like billionaires or something, I think.
Yeah. So, well, people have certainly made a lot of money off that stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm sure SeaWorld makes a fuck ton. Imagine how expensive it is to own a whale.
I mean, quite a bit. I've never been, actually, but I always wanted to go as a kid. But glad I didn't at this point. I'm not supporting that. I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah, Joe talked about his one friend jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, too. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa, Joe, talk about bringing this podcast down.
I can't remember how, what the adjective he used of why they do it the way they do it. There was some, like,
oh, it was like jumping into the abyss or something, he said, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
Yeah. Word. I mean, I lost a friend recently, and, you know, it's really tough.
Yeah.
I've never had that happen before. It's such a weird thing, because it's one thing for somebody to die, but when they go out like that, you find yourself just analyzing, like, everything that you knew about them.
Could I have done more all the time? That's Joe's thing.
Yeah, or something. Right. Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, because I feel like everyone, given the right support, can get through whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying that no one should ever do it, and people are in a lot of pain.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
Like, and to think that people are in horrendous amounts of pain with no support for a long period of time. I mean, I don't blame them, you know. I wouldn't get mad at somebody to do it, and people do. But it's just sad. It's just sad to hear that and just think about it. It's like, fuck.
Right.
Poor fuck.
That's unfortunate for sure. There's no way to, I mean, rationalize that, especially when, I don't know, I get it. I don't get it. It's just, it's one of those things. But
yeah,
to choose.
Switching gears a little bit, like another fun fact about Rogan that I didn't know about him going on stage is he talked about that poor woman bombing terribly, and he looked at the DJ and was like, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
So true.
Like, as she's bombing. And then he goes up, the DJ plays it, and now he always plays that song. Is that that's AC/DC, right?
Yes, sir.
It's got to be.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, great song.
Great song.
Great track. But yeah, what an interesting, like, it's interesting how Joe does that. It's almost like he has his, would you call that superstitions? Like, he wears his watch every time he performs.
I think we're just
a special, or he has the same music, or
we're creatures of habit. When we see something that works or feel something that works, it's like, that's it. Why break it? Make it work. Don't you? I mean, I like the routine that I have here at home. It's like there's certain things that I do on the daily basis now that I've kind of made a routine. And it's like those things I've seen benefits from it. Like, that's on a smaller scale, but there's some benefit to that.
Yeah, I guess it's like it gets you in gear, right? Absolutely. You know, when you're like gearing up for action,
for sure.
You're like, oh, I've got these are the sneakers I run in, or this is my gear for boxing. Like, I have all this,
absolutely.
And it's not okay. I guess that's more like equipment based.
No, I get.
But you know, you kind of have your little routine for like getting ready.
Well, when you set that up the night before, or before you're doing it, it's like your preparation. It's going to lead to successful outcomes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was saying Prince Harry was talking some shit.
Yeah.
Prince Harry's mad at Joe Rogan.
Right.
I never thought I'd say that. That doesn't seem like... But yeah, I guess for vaccine misinformation.
God.
And then Tim Dillon roasted him,
dude,
which was hilarious. What did he say?
Tim Dillon just recently said something about like Tesla drivers should be shot in the head. He was joking, but he got so much riffraff from that. It's just like, good Lord.
He's teetering on the point of getting canceled, he must be.
Dude, he's always been on the cusp.
Like, he's super popular, but he's not quite in the Dave Chappelle range of getting away with murder. I mean, he's pushing hard.
Right.
That shit that he did with the Airbnb.
Holy hell.
And getting banned from Airbnb. Dude, I mean, it's like...
If it's anything...
I don't know if after a while people are going to be like, all right, Tim, that's enough. Chill out, bro.
I don't know. If that's an indication that all press is good press, that's...
That's true. I do like his style, and he is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's...
He is very, very fine.
He's witty.
Joe also talked about his understanding of why some people don't like him. Which I thought was interesting, because he's like, look, everyone I meet's nice to me. Everyone, like, he has a privileged life, so now, and everyone's nice.
Well, when you're,
but he's like, some people out there not gonna like me. I have a big voice,
right?
Like a huge audience. Like, it makes sense.
When you're that polarizing as Tim Dillon is too, though, that's people are either on your side or against you kind of thing a lot of the time.
Yeah, and he also made reference to like it doesn't matter. Like, he's like, I don't worry about what people say about me. They can,
right?
You know, if they don't want to like me, they don't have to. And if they want to, like, then she was bringing up like he's clickbait,
right?
So there's like news organizations that profit off,
for sure,
just talking about him and talking shit,
right?
See, that's how I know that he'd never be bothered about this podcast,
right?
Whether he knew it existed or not, he'd probably be like, it's fine.
Yeah,
I don't care. People are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want.
He'd be happy that we were spreading it around, hopefully.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Definitely happier than the people giving us 1 star and getting mad at us.
Right. We're not talking shit. We're supporting in our own way.
Right. Well, sometimes we do.
Yeah. Either
way. Yeah. The big thing is like when people are like, we need more analysis. I'm like, we're not a news show. We're a couple of morons that listen to Rogan and then talk about what we enjoy and like, or if it was entertaining, or is there anything to learn?
Right.
Out of this,
right.
Anything to add to our lives?
Agreed.
Like, I don't know what more I can do.
So you must have been reading the comments, huh?
Oh, I have before, yeah.
Gotcha.
I have before, man.
Fair enough.
It's good. Let's find one of the best terrible ones that I've seen. One's cut entitled "Garbage." How has this dude not been sued for copyright infringement? 1 star. All right. Nice.
Nice.
Another one just says trash and has a bunch of emojis of trash cans. That one's good. That one's not bad at all.
That is well done.
It's like, hey, at least make it funny. Good work.
I appreciate that.
Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's jump over to Sebastian Younger. This dude, he's just a fucking man's man. And I don't know if you know about the book The Tribe, but like he was like a war reporter, basically, like constantly in on the front lines, you know, reporting, being with like troops and moving into different areas. And I mean, that's a fucking scary job. Dude. I mean, you've got to be hard as nails. And he seems like it. He just seems like a tough dude.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we need to build a house. I'll build a house. Like, that's the guy.
Right.
Whatever
let's get this
done. Whatever the task is, he's like, I will accomplish that, whatever it is.
Yeah. But The Tribe is a really important book. Like, if you're into those sorts of books, I don't know what you call it, just like, I guess they're kind of like self-help in a sense. Like, they're trying to teach you something that you can apply to your life.
Right.
And that one was one that above a lot of others really stood out. Like Stephen Pressfield's one, The Art of War.
War of Art.
That's what I meant. That one's very, very good too.
Yeah.
But The Tribe is just superb for like kind of structuring your understanding of community.
Absolutely.
And like having that like tight-knit group around you and having that support, and it's just really put together well. Definitely.
I'll give that a download for sure.
His near-death experience seemed fucking brutal.
Wow. I love the way he describes it too. It's just like, it's so matter-of-fact about everything, you know?
Yeah, and like very analytical. Right. Like he's really thinking about how it happened. What did he say? He lost eight units of blood?
Pints of blood or something? That was interesting too. Like I started thinking about how you're more of the scientist, but it's crazy. You think about in human bodies, I don't know how many blood types there are, but there's only X amount of blood types, correct?
Yeah.
So that isn't that wild that we come from?
Yeah, it's like A, B, and then O.
So in every single
B negative, like
in every single 7 billion whatever people on the planet, we all come down to 5 different bloodlines ultimately.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that surprising. I mean, if you think about the periodic table of elements, it's made up of like what, 280 different types of atoms, and that makes everything that exists.
That's fucking weird.
280 things. Jesus. It's like Lego, but there's probably more Lego pieces than 280.
Right. That's crazy.
So if you look at it that way, it's not that strange.
Right. That's
I mean, we are the same thing.
Right.
I kind of think it's strange that there's any different blood types, though. Like, I would have just thought that you could just put, like, if you could put any blood into someone else, you could put all blood.
Right.
That just shows I would have been a terrible medieval doctor, because I would have just killed everyone.
O positive and some B folks.
Yeah. Well, I think you could do that. O positive is the one you can give to anyone.
Oh yeah.
Or is it O negative? I don't know. One of those.
one of the O's.
Thank God we're not doctors.
Yeah, I think he. Moral of the story is the way he approaches life as a journalist too. Like he's just like what he always is looking at different angles of what makes the most sense. That's the guy I feel like I want to get lost in the woods with. Is my.
Oh, for sure. You know? For sure. Yeah, just his knowledge on everything, and he just has this like air of certainty around him.
Right.
Like, yeah, I got this. I've seen it. Uh-huh. I've seen the shit.
Right. That's the guy.
I've gone to the darkness and I've come back.
Right. How did Joe become in touch with him? Just from reading his book or what, you know?
I think from the book The Tribe, because I'm pretty sure he was making the rounds with the podcast. And then I think early on for Joe, when he connected to Tim Ferriss, because Tim was a guy that was like always searching out these like really unique people, like
right.
Jocko and I think even possibly Cameron Haynes and some of these like extraordinary folk. Mm-hmm. And I think what Tim was doing is just kind of like relaying a lot of that over to Rogan.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then, you know, once Rogan got a feel for it, he knew where to look and start setting it up. Right. But early on, it was like a few kind of academics and quasi celebrities and mostly just Joe's comedy friends. That's kind of how he set up his podcast.
Right.
But he was always interested in that kind of thing.
For sure.
But yeah, again, with the near death experience, like he seems to like appreciate a lot of things so much more.
For sure.
Because he just sees the finite, like you're faced with the fragility of life then. You're like, fuck, this could end any second, potentially. So how does that change today?
Quickly, too.
And
it can escalate real quickly, obviously, like you were saying. The way he was talking about just having one more day with his daughters and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, it's hard to consistently live that way. But I think that if you're mindful, I think meditation has a lot to do with that, too. Because if you can just live in some gratitude, that it makes life a lot, I don't want to say easier, but just more rewarding, more satisfying when you're truly in gratitude for what you have. I mean, life is a blessing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, they talked about Robin Williams and like his talent, but also his surgery and being under anesthesia may have caused the depression that led to his suicide, and just his amazing range, like as an actor. It was cool when they were bringing up some different points about his movies. Like, think about his movies. He really had some fucking great movies.
He's one of my favorite. I mean, Good Will Hunting. Like, he was just amazing. Like,
Dude, that movie still holds up. It's such a good movie.
Sure.
So good.
How about them apples?
Even Mrs. Doubtfire is pretty good.
That was a great movie.
Fucking funny. I mean, yeah, it was.
I mean, every movie really he did was solid. Solid. I mean,
Good
Morning Vietnam was amazing too.
Yeah, they were talking about the beginning of that. I want to watch the beginning again and
great.
See. I remember him like ranting, but I don't remember too much about it.
Yeah, it's so good. I think they were saying that he was just coming off the cuff on that one too. Like, I don't even know if that was written. I'm sure a lot of the people that were his age range and his demographic were all feeling that. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? So it kind of came across in the movie. I don't know if you knew that reference.
It makes sense. Yeah. He seems like the type of guy that would just... could just do that. I mean, he's that kind of comic for sure.
Absolutely.
What did you think about the thing he was saying about the disparities between men and women? Like, strength is a big one physically, but when it comes to like running, men and women are much closer.
Yeah.
Even in sprinting and like long distance running, and then obviously there was that Moab chick that was like is like way better than any of the men.
Yep.
And he was kind of drawing parallels to like we're actually better at fleeing than we are fighting.
Right.
It's like if you fight, only half the tribe can really do that effectively.
Right.
But if you flee, everyone can do it.
Yeah. I mean, I need to be more that mindset too, as opposed to like wanting. I don't ever really want confrontation. That's not what I want ever. But I think that initially you should be thinking, how can I defuse this? You shouldn't be thinking, how can I defuse? I think once you get older, that should be the mindset. And even when you're a kid, if you're a smart kid, that would be the play, you know?
Yeah. And it also comes back to that podcast from the other week where the guy was talking about rucking.
That's what I was thinking, right?
It's like hiking and rucking and having that as your strength.
Dude,
I think I'm going to start doing that because I've got so many great hiking trails around here in Bozeman. And instead of just going to the gym and like doing squats or just the same shit all the time, I'm just like, how dope would that be? Like, pick a hike, get some weight, and just go tackle
it. That's what I throw on the Rogan. I grab the 220-pound dumbbells and walk up and down my stairs 100, 200 times. My legs are gassed.
That sounds super boring.
I mean,
I can't believe you do that.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Up and down the stairs with your weights.
You don't know about it, but it's a difference.
You just get ankle weights, bro. That'll be super Venice of you.
Just doing karate kicks.
Get some pink ones.
That's for sure. That'd be solid.
I think Sebastian was kind of out of his league a little bit when he was trying to persuade Joe of the MMA stats.
I was going
to
make reference.
Wrong guy to talk
like,
to about
the
that.
Smaller guy's not going to win, right, pal?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not buying this. And he held his ground, though, and I don't think he did it in a stubborn way.
No.
He was just trying to get a point across, and some point was made, But whatever that stat is, it must be within the same weight class. So you probably have a 5-10 pound difference. And then, yeah, I would say skill is probably the deciding factor, which would make sense. But yeah, you put a shitty heavyweight like Brendan Schaub up against Conor McGregor. Brendan's going to smush him. Like, I don't see a way around it. If you outweigh somebody by like 60-70 pounds, even if you're going to get tired, you're going to smash that guy. He's not going to get away from you in an octagon.
That's the one benefit that I guess that it's not MMA, but that Luke Paul guy has on Floyd. I think he's got 50 pounds on him.
Yeah, that's true, but Floyd's going to demolish him.
Is it just going to be like an ass whooping?
Of course it
is. You know, every single person wants to just see him get like completely lit.
Like, yeah, flatlined.
Like, there is no in between. Like, it was
complete flatline. Like, first death. Like,
real close to just for a while. Getting, like, knocked the fuck out. Every single person's like, all right, let's just put this.
Dude, guarantee if he gets hurt, he's just going to flop straight to the mat. He's not going to stand in there like a brute and take a lot of heavy shots. No? There's more chance Floyd would do that because there's no way Floyd is going to want to lose.
No, not at
Like, Floyd will fight to the end of the earth to not lose this. Imagine if he lost.
Is he sparring with dudes 50 pounds heavier, you think, so he gets an idea? He must.
You know, I'm sure he's boxing with taller people, yeah. That would make sense. I mean, listen, whatever he's doing is exactly what he needs to do. That guy is an absolute wizard.
Right.
Yeah, he's as good as you can get.
Dude, it's crazy that these fights are drawing so much attention, but I will say that I think you just look forward to wanting the guy just to get demolished.
Well, Logan Paul just signed a deal with Showtime.
I saw that.
I'm like, what? And Brendan was talking about it. Brendan Schaub was talking about it. And he's like, listen, because I work for Showtime, they're not going to put like internet morons up against them. He's going to be fighting real guys, like real fighters. And I'm like, oh, we're going to get to watch him get knocked out too.
Well, we'll see, right? I guess this is their opportunity. I mean, we just like to hate the villain, but. Who knows? Hopefully
I don't know. He's going to have to pick really carefully and start with real basic. I mean, look, he's been boxing a few years. He probably has good trainers and coaches. Yeah. But, I mean, these guys that are professional boxers, they've been boxing since they were, like, 10. Yeah,
it's true.
Like, it's everything that they know. Yeah. And their skill level is going to be so much higher than that guy.
Right.
I don't care that he knocked Ben Askren out.
Right.
Ben Askren looked like
fucking
debt. He looked like a sleeping bag. Yeah, he was like a beanbag shape. I mean, I was.
It looked like he almost went out of his way to be in like bad shape. Like it was like he tried to be like
he may be pregnant.
Like he was like, I'm gonna be potentially pregnant. Ben Askren loses to Logan Paul or Jake Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got an Olympic wrestler medalist,
right,
coming into box looking like his diet was nothing but pizza.
Literally, like no effort whatsoever, nothing.
I'm sure he did something, but he definitely didn't look like it.
Yikes.
I mean, maybe he thought I'll look terrible and that'll look really good.
That's what I was thinking.
You know,
that's probably what it was called.
But to look terrible and then get immediately knocked out,
not a good look.
Is not. Yeah, that's not a good look. No. Poor guy.
But still got paid, so whatever.
Still a legend, yeah. Made lots of money.
Yep.
Made lots of money. The thing that they were was it the Apaches they were talking about when they were talking about running, like the whole village,
because
they were like the last of all the tribes that got wiped out, but they could move like 40 miles a day.
Right.
The kids tied food to themselves so they could like fuck off whenever they want and they'd have some food.
Right, dude. Like 75-year-old women were fucking hiking that far. They were saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and the warriors were expected to be able to move 70 miles a day.
Shiesty.
Think about that. That is incredible.
Your body is at a different level at that point. A complete different.
Yeah.
Like this.
That's a completely different. How long would it take you to get your body in shape to be able to move 70 miles a day? What is that? 3 marathons?
I have no idea. Not to mention you're hunting along the way, just eating straight up bears and whatever the hell's on the way.
Yeah, you got like a couple of rabbits hanging off your belt.
Snack.
Bit of jerky, rabbit jerky.
Snack on this rabbit foot and then make my 70 miles.
Yeah. What did you think about the three important things that he talked about? Shit, what were they? Give blood, vote, and then jury duty. They are not the three things that I would have guessed.
No, and I think would be important.
But he kind of made compelling cases. I still don't know if I agree they're like the three most important things to do. But
in theory,
but I guess in a community sense, they're important. Right. You know,
in theory, they seem to be the most important. Like if you were to write it down, that would make the most sense. But it just seems so far off that that's really what's going on. But I appreciate the narrative. That's definitely what he was going for. Giving, I mean, in like I said, in theory, and if you were to write it down, that would be what you would want to hear, right? They all make some, real good stuff.
I guess. I didn't realize there was any kind of blood shortage. I would have felt like we have plenty of blood.
I don't know.
Everywhere.
Just blood.
Like, how much blood are people using?
Apparently, he used like 10 pints or something crazy. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah, he used a lot. Well, I think he said they were units, which is like another like measurement. I don't know what a unit is.
Gotcha.
See, this is why we needed Jamie, so he can Google these things for us. But we are way too broke, and let me look it up real quick. Unit versus pint of blood. Okay, we're looking it up. This is like 10 pints amount of blood in the body an average adult has. Okay, one unit of whole blood is roughly the equivalent to one pint. Oh, so you were right. Why don't they just fucking call it a pint then?
You need the metrics and the inches, bud.
Yeah, there we go. Just to confuse us. Thanks. It's like a yard and a meter. Right. They're like almost the same, but not the same.
Just enough to throw you down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. Well, Google just made some money from me Googling, so maybe that's why it exists. I like the shit they were ending on, just kind of like with the... like the unconscious body language stuff.
Oh, dude, that's crazy.
You know, like unconscious submission body language like type things, like psyching out the enemy. And then he had that thing called the appeasement cue,
right,
where you kind of like smile at someone when you're threatened by him to show him you're not a threat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done that before, like when I've walked into clubs and bars and security's there looking mean, you just kind of like nod your head and
dude, a smile goes,
give him like a
smile goes a long way.
Yeah, but it's a different type of smile, though. It's not like you're smiling just at someone you're not threatened by. It's like a smile to be like, I'm not a problem.
Right. Gotcha. I know what you're referencing there, for sure. Also, it was interesting that he was talking about how, how much your body gives away, like, unintentionally. Like he was talking about those poker chips, and whenever you push the poker chips in, like, whenever they had people on the outside watching, like some crazy stat, like 70% of the time they could tell who had the winning hand just by the way they pushed in the poker chips.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, right? I wonder if high-level poker people
I'm sure they research.
If they pay attention to how people push the poker chips
100%,
in.
I've heard multiple poker players make reference to that.
That's pretty fascinating. Like if they do it all slowly,
you pick up on people's
and they're like, oh, you got a good hand.
Right, that's what poker is. You pick up on people's cues, you know?
Right. That makes sense. So. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, look, Sebastian's a beast of a man. And I think the work that he does is really important. And he's coming from, like, a history of journalism that really sets him up for like, a really fascinating analysis of of the way that he puts it together. It's like everything kind of builds on itself, and then he comes back around. They're useful books, for sure. And like I said, I'm definitely going to check out Freedom book?
The World is a Better
Place. I'll probably order that today.
The World is a Better Place because of Sebastian Younger.
Yeah, right? Let's hope he doesn't bleed into his stomach anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. Well, thank you for this week, and thank you, Garrett, for joining.
Thanks, guys.
And I think we have Neil deGrasse Tyson on coming up for next week.
I'm excited for that one.
I'm pretty sure that he's back on, so it's going to be interesting to see
aliens.
What he's working on and what he took. He's always great. Right. Maybe he'll talk about aliens. We get some more UFO ones.
For sure.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Later.
Peace and love.